Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, it is our great joy and blessing to come to you in the study of the epistles of Paul, and we are studying these days the fifth chapter of the book of Paul to the Galatians. This Galatian church had a wonderful experience with God. They were so full of joy and blessing and hope, and when Paul went to them and brought the gospel of Christ, they received him as an angel from heaven. In fact, they were so in love with the Savior that they would have taken out their own eyes and given them to the Apostle Paul, because, as you know, he had eye trouble. But now when he came back the second time, he found them in legalism. Certain false teachers had come from Jerusalem who declared that they must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And the great cry, of course, to people who want to live godly in Christ is, how can I live godly in Christ? How can I live a holy life in the midst of a world of sin and corruption? I've got terrific enemies. I've got the world and the flesh and the devil. How then can I live to the glory of God on this earth? And instead of trusting the Savior and believing in his sufficiency for their daily living, they came under the law as a rule of life, the law of Moses. And the result was they'd lost their joy and their blessing and their fellowship one with another. They accused Paul of being their enemy. And not only so, but they became very hypercritical, even of the Apostle Paul. And in this fifth chapter, in fact, chapter 5 and 6 has to do with God's way of sanctifying his people. That is, sanctification is by the Spirit, not by keeping the law. And when we come down to the first 11 verses, we were dealing in our past two or three lessons with the fact that the result of being under the law as a rule of life. Paul declares, first of all, that the gospel gives me liberty, not bondage. And he takes these 11 verses and gives us seven things that happens to a person when they come under the law, when they put themselves under the law as a rule of life. If I may repeat those things again and then follow along in our studies. In the first verse, it brings us under bondage. In the second verse, it ruins the grace of God. Christ profits us nothing. It is very, very strong language. In the third verse, it makes one a debtor to do the whole law. And that's everything in the law, the ceremony as well as the moral. No need for the cross. In verse 4, you're fallen from grace. Do you mean you believe in falling from grace? Yes, but not the way you do. The man who falls from grace is not the Christian who sins. He needs the grace of God. The one who falls from grace is the man who was trying to keep the law as a rule of life, trying to make himself good and fit himself for the presence of God, produces self-righteousness. He's the man who falls from grace. He doesn't need the Savior. And then in verses 5 to 6, it destroys our hope. For we have the good hope through grace, and if grace is not sufficient, then we have no hope. And then the sixth thing, it hinders progress in the things of Christ. In verses 7 to 10, when Paul said to these Galatian Christians, you did run well. Something's happened to you. Something has happened to you. You're full of uncertainty now. Know the law. If you're honest with yourself, my friend, if you try to keep the law, you know you can't keep it. You say, well, I'm trying the best I can. I know you are. I'm not questioning that for one moment. But my friend, you never will keep the law. And all the law can do is to curse you and damn you and declare you must die. You must turn to Christ. Flee to Christ. He's the only Savior, and he's the only one who can keep you. Now, just one more thing, and that's verse 11, the seventh thing. The result of one being under the law as a rule of life, it brings to an end the offense of the cross. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. May I suggest this to your heart? It's the most natural thing in the world for us to depend upon some ceremony or some good work? In fact, be honest with me, when you do something good, you kind of feel pretty good, don't you? Pat yourself on the back. Now, I'm not holding any brief for sin or failure. It does give one a real good feeling when you've done something good, and especially if it's a little better than somebody else. This is the natural thing. It's of the flesh, of course. See, what you do, you must do for the glory of God, that He be glorified. In fact, if there's any good thing done through you, He's the one that does it, not you. You're just the channel which He uses to manifest His own character in goodness. Now, it says in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. In Romans chapter 8, the 8th verse says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's one aspect of truth. Remember that. Now, the cross of Christ declares that nothing, absolutely nothing you can do will merit favor with God. What God wants sinners to do is to accept His Son as their Savior and receive new life, receive forgiveness, receive redemption, fitted for His presence. God does that. He's the Savior. If I put myself under the law, remember, I've got to do all that the law says, all that the law requires. And the cross is an offense. It's an offense to my pride. It gives me no room for pride in the flesh. The cross is an offense to my culture. My culture doesn't fit me for the presence of God. The cross is an offense to my religion. The cross says your religious rites will not help you or fit you for God's presence. The cross is an offense to my morality. Being a moral man or woman doesn't fit me for the presence of God. The cross is an offense to my philosophy. It says it's no good, etc. One can multiply all the things that men depend upon. The cross is the end of all self-effort. The cross is an insult to my pride, to my culture, to my religion, to my morality, to my philosophy, to anything and everything I do. God says, they that are in the flesh cannot please Him. The flesh is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. My friend, how in the world then can I please God? By the Spirit of God who lives in you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, that very moment, the Spirit of God came to live in your body. As Corinthians 6 says, your body becomes the temple of God, the sanctuary of God. You become a channel, a vehicle through whom God can display His love and His grace and His compassion and His tenderness toward men. This is never accomplished through legality. It must be done by the Spirit of God who indwells His people. I want this very, very clear, my friend, to your own heart and mind. Please don't turn against the grace of God. Remember what He says here. If I were to preach, as Paul, if I were just to add circumcision to what Christ has done, I'd have no persecution. But then the offense of the cross ceases. If I add one little work to what Christ has done, the cross has no more effect. You see, it ceases. The offense of the cross ceases. What do you mean? The cross declares that I'm incurably bad. This we don't like to hear. The cross says my philosophy won't help me. The cross says my morality won't help me. The cross says my religion won't help me. The cross says that I can't do anything to fit myself for the presence of God. So when one puts themselves under the law as a rule of life, remember, it brings you into bondage. It ruins the grace of God. It makes you a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is of no effect unto you. You have fallen from grace. It destroys our hope. It hinders our progress. And it brings to an end the offense of the cross. What shall I do, you say then? Why, you yield yourself to the Lord. And let the Spirit of God who indwells you, as Paul said in chapter 2, verse 20. My history as a sinner came to an end at the cross. God condemned the flesh at the cross. God declared that he had no confidence in the flesh. When Christ died, he died for the whole man. And when you accepted the Savior, you can say with Paul, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is his thought when he come to Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, when he said, whether by life or by death, it's immaterial to me, said Paul, whether I live or whether I die, as long as Christ is magnified in my body. For to me to live, Christ. If I live, I'm going to magnify Christ. If I die, I'm going to be with Christ. So it makes no difference, really, whether you live or whether you die, as long as you're in Christ. Now, this is the grace of God. This is the good news from God to men who are dead in trespasses and sins. God is telling you, my friend, that he has made the provision for your eternal welfare. He has made the provision to put away your sin. He has made the provision to you to be freed from the bondage of death and from the fear of hell. He has made all the provision, even to live his life in and through you. This is sanctification. This is the Spirit of God working in and through you his own good plan and purpose. Now, why don't you today just live today, make yourself available to God that he might live out his life in and through you. And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.